14. The Fiendishly Clever Plan. The dragons protested a bit, but the boys yelled them into line. All except for Toothless, who absolutely refused to join in.
You must be joking, sneered the little dragon. I refuse to go anywhere near a sea dragon as gigantic as Maximus. Those things are dangerous. I shall stay here and watch you all.
Hiccup coaxed and bribed and threatened in vain. You see, said Snotlout, the useless can't even get his own dragon to carry out his pathetic plan, and this is the person you are banking on to get you out of this mess.
Ugh, said Dog's Breath, the Durbrain.
Oh, shut up, Snotlout, chorused the rest of the boys. Hiccup sighed and gave up. Okay then, Toothless, you just stay here and miss all the fun. Now, I want everybody to go down to the gulls' nesting place and collect as many birds' feathers as you can for the feather bombs.
Birds' feathers? Scoffed Snotlout. The wimp thinks you can fight an animal like that with birds' feathers. Cold steel is the only language a creature like that will understand.
Dragons have a tendency to asthma, explained Hiccup. It's all that fire breathing they do. The smoke gets in their lungs.
So you think this monster is going to die from asthma right then and there because of a few feather bombs? Why not just feed him fried herring and see whether he drops dead of a heart attack in 20 years or so? Jeered Snotlout.
No, said Hiccup patiently. The feather bombs are just to make him very confused so he won't kill anybody on the way. Snotlout, Thuggery, I'm going to need to coach Fireworm and Killer in what they have to say, continued Hiccup.
I'm not putting my dragon at risk in this crazy plan, said Snotlout. Oh, yes, you are, hissed Thuggery through gritted teeth, brandishing a massive fist at Snotlout. This guy is such a pain, Hiccup. I don't know how you put up with him. Listen, Snot Features, by some miracle you have got yourself a reasonable dragon. You get that dragon to do what Hiccup wants, or it will give me much pleasure to personally boot you all the way to Porpoise Point and back again.
Okay, then, said Snotlout crossly, but don't blame me when we all get barbecued because of the useless's mad idea. Hiccup supervised the making of the feather bombs. The boys gathered great armfuls of feathers from the gulls' nesting place. They then burgled every item of material they could find. Goggletoad's nappies, Gobber's pyjamas, Mogadon the Meathead's tent, Valhalla Rama's bra, anything they could get their hands on. The grown-ups were too busy consulting amongst themselves to take any notice. Snotlout cheered up a bit because he could show off his superior skill at burglary. He managed to steal Baggy Bum's knickers right off him as he was standing in a huddle discussing a plan of action. Baggy Bum didn't notice, not even when he reached a hairy hand down to absent-mindedly scratch his great bottom. He was too busy talking about bigger and better methods of yelling. The boys then wrapped the feathers up in the material so that they would fly out when the bomb was dropped. Each team of 10 boys was armed with about 100 of these feather bombs, wrapped in a great parcel made out of an old sail. Hiccup led the hooligans towards the long beach, while Thuggery took the meatheads to Unlandable Cove. The thin column of boys were excitedly chattering as they set off behind Hiccup, Wartyhog and Clueless dragging the sail at the rear, the dragons circling and diving a couple of feet above their heads. Vikings are practically fearless, having been bred to be soldiers, so even Hiccup and Fishlegs had a surge of excitement at the thought of the battle to come. But as soon as the monster came into sight again, the boys and the dragons instantly dropped to their tummies and squirmed forward, hearts beating hard. It was impossible that anything could be that big. Hiccup led them as near as he dared to the edge of the cliffs surrounding the long beach. They looked down on the terrible creature snoring in front of them. His nostrils alone were as big as 6 front doors, and the stench reeking out of them made it difficult for the boys to breathe. Wartyhog, who had always had a delicate stomach, threw up disgustingly in the heather. Hiccup, Fishlegs and Clueless unwrapped the feather bombs and gave one to each boy. The boys called the dragons as softly as they could, and each put a feather bomb in their dragon's mouth. They then stood up on the edge of the cliff with their dragons on their outstretched arms. This took about the same amount of bravery it might take for you to leap off a mountain at 1,000 feet. Even with the monster fast asleep, the natural reaction was to keep hidden in the bracken. Hiccup tried not to breathe in. He lifted his arm to give the command to begin.
"Go!"
whispered Hiccup.
"Go!" yelled back the boys, and 10 dragons flew up and circled around the vast sleeping head. Just as the Green Death inhaled, Hiccup shouted, "Now!" and the dragons let go of the feather bombs. The Green Death took in a breath that was half air and half feathers. He woke with a gigantic sneeze and, as he shuddered and coughed, Fireworm, who was treading air near his right ear, gave a speech which went something like this, but a lot more irritating.
"Greetings, O Sea Dragonus Pusillanimus Minimus, from my father, the Terror of the Seas. He is feeling like feasting on the barbarians, and if you get in his way, he will feast on you. Swim away, little sea slug, and you will be safe. But stay on this island, and you will feel the sharpness of his claws and the fierceness of his fire."
The giant monster tried to laugh sarcastically and cough at the same time, but this is virtually impossible, and a feather went down the wrong way, making him cough even more. Then Fireworm bit him on the nose. It must have felt like a flea bite, but the monster was outraged. Through streaming eyes, the Green Death made a swipe at this irritating dragon flea and missed. One giant claw tore down part of the cliff face instead. The 9 other dragons had by this time returned to collect more feather bombs from the boys on the cliffs. "Now!" yelled Hiccup, and with split-second timing, they let their bombs fly. They hit their target of the Green Death's nostrils, and he collapsed with coughing again.
"You cannot win, puny worm!" crowed Fireworm. "Wriggle back to the sea where you belong, and let my master have his supper!"
Now the Green Death was really cross. He bounded lopsidedly after Fireworm, trying to bat away this irritating little speck of a dragon with his claws.
But the Green Death had the same sort of difficulty in catching Fireworm as you might have if you tried to catch a blue bottle with your bare hands. Dragons are better than humans at that sort of game, but the Green Death kept on missing because his eyes were streaming so much.
"Missed again!"
sneered Fireworm, enjoying herself hugely, and she flapped just out of reach of the Green Death's claws. The Green Death made another wild leap towards her as Fireworm flew on around the corner of the cliffs, steering the monster in the direction of Unlandable Cove. Hiccup and the boys ran after them as fast as they could, but they hadn't a hope of keeping up. Running through heather is not unlike running through knee-deep treacle, and they kept disappearing up to their knees in the bog. As Fireworm and the monster got further and further ahead in their race along the shoreline, it took longer and longer for the other dragons to fly back to the boys and return with more feather bombs. The military commanders among you will recognise the kind of problems that ensue when the supply line can no longer reach the forces at the front. Eventually, it was taking so long to reload that there came a moment when there were no more feathers tickling the Green Death's nostrils, and his eyes stopped streaming, and suddenly he could see the maddening Fireworm pinpoint clear. The Green Death made a lightning reflex swipe at the Red Dragon and caught her in one gigantic claw. It was lucky for Fireworm that at that very moment, the Purple Death came crashing round the corner and struck the Green Death heavily in the stomach. His grip loosened on Fireworm for a second and she flew off, panting with relief. The Green Death sat down heavily in the sea and fought for breath. The Purple Death did much the same.